Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. This prayer has been prayed and recited for such a long time, as we've said so often, it's probably lost a lot of its impact. It's helpful to remember that the prayer is divided up into three sections. The first section deals with relationship, the Father relationship. The second deals with responsibility, the responsibility of seeking to glorify God and His name, seeking to do His will. The last part deals with requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Deliver us from the evil one. And then it ends with a little worship and praise, going back to the first thought. The first part of this prayer focuses on God. The second part of this prayer focuses on us. The first part deals with our relationship to God. The second part deals with our relationship to everyone else. We really can't have a strong relationship with people until we have a strong relationship with God. You can build relationships, but if you want right relationships, they stem from your security in Christ, becoming secure, having the esteem of belonging to God and knowing Him as your Father. Then your relationship with other Christians can be on target. You can look at relationships as two different axes, where you have an axis that is vertical and one that is horizontal. The vertical axis is our relationship to God. The horizontal, of course, then is our relationship to the body of Christ. Those axes are fixed. That is, our horizontal will be determined by our vertical. If our vertical axis, our relationship with God, is straight and true and right, the horizontal axis will be true. When our relationship with God is off, it throws off the rest of our lives. And it's an indication to us that when there's problems in other areas of our lives, the root cause is a problem in a relationship with God. God made it so easy so that we wouldn't have to be complicated with all of the myriad reasons why life doesn't work and trying to chase after this problem and counseling for this problem and this psychological malfunction. He said, look, if you just seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. If you can boil life down to the basic of seeking God and having an intimate relationship with God, I mean really seeking God, not saying it, doing it, loving Him, trusting Him with all of your heart, you'll find that your life, all those things will be added unto you. The provision, the security, the joy. It works. So the first part of the prayer is important as we focus on our relationship with God. The second part, equally as important, focuses on man. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. But first of all, he deals with our body needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I don't know where we get this notion, but there is the notion that to pray for your own self, especially your own physical needs, is somehow unspiritual. Well, it's not, because Jesus said to do it. Verse 11 bears that out. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what we need. Please, Lord, give it to us. However, let me reemphasize the fact that before Jesus ever taught His disciples to bring requests before God, you bring requests before God with certain priorities. That is, will this request glorify God? Will this spread the kingdom of God? Will this help to perform God's will? Do I think this is really God's will? Now, you can't always answer those questions, because it says in Romans, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought sometimes. And that's when the Holy Spirit intercedes and helps with groanings that cannot be uttered. But in coming before the Lord, in first of all getting the relationship with Him right, does a couple of things. It helps us first to pray according to the will of God. Because instead of just coming overwhelmed with our desires and possibly selfish desires, if we come seeking God's will, wanting His kingdom to be spread throughout the earth and His will to be done, it will help us to pray more according to His desires, because then our desires becomes God's desires. Secondly, praying this way with this kind of a model helps our perspective in prayer. As we come so overwhelmed with, give us this day our daily bread, we first say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now give us this day. It gets our focus refocused upon God and His power and His ability. That God is omniscient, that God can do anything. You know, we often run to the throne of God and we're just flipped out with our problem. And it's so big and God doesn't understand that it's so big and we got to inform Him that it's so big. He's got to do something. And we begin our prayer in verse 11. Instead of Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we pray with a proper perspective, when we realize who we're praying to, it boosts our faith. It turbocharges your faith. Because when you come to God with, oh God, give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to die if you don't provide. Now, I've prayed those prayers and God doesn't slap me because of them. I think God honors them. But you know what it does? I don't walk out of the presence of God with much more faith than that. When I refocus my sights upon, look, you're able to handle this. This is not the first time that a human being has had this problem. There have been other people with a lot tougher problems, and you are my Father who art in heaven, and that changes the whole perspective of this big problem. That's so important. You know, that father relationship is so important. The early church, when they prayed, when they were persecuted and they thought it was the end of their outreach evangelism ministry because they were threatened, and they said, you guys speak anymore in Jesus' name and you're ousted. You've had it. And the threats were in. They came before God and they said, Lord, you are God. You made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. And you spoke about this event years before it happened. Therefore, here's our request. It's no surprise to you and you're big enough to handle it. Now, Lord, please fill us with boldness. That's our request. So that we can go back out into the streets and face our enemies. They prayed with proper perspective. They brought their requests. They said, give us this day our daily bread. But they did so after their perspective was right with God. And it's not just that God is all powerful and God can handle it. He's your Father. It's the relationship of intimacy that's there. You know, Nathan, my son, is at a stage where he whines. And you'll hear him in the house, you know, just go, And when he sees you and he's in his walker, it's even more whiny. It's like, I got to do something. And he'll go, And he'll start running in his little walker with his arms out like this. When I bend down to pick him up, he goes, It's like, I don't know what his problem is, but whatever problem it is, because daddy's holding him, it's okay now, temporarily. But it's dad. Our Heavenly Father is dad. Whatever problem we have when we're whining, if you could put your arms out and just say, Father, you're my dad. You love me, I'm your child. I seek for you to deal with this. I'm going to trust you as my Father. It changes our perspective. And so, please keep that this in mind, that this is a model prayer and there's a list of priorities that are kept before the request is given. We recognize to whom we are praying. We seek for His will to be done. Now, Jesus told us many times to bring our necessities before Him. You see, prayer is not just worship and praise. Prayer is not just interceding for other nations. It is important to God, What's going on in your life? But sometimes we have this distorted view that prayer is unspiritual if we ask anything personal. If you're really spiritual, you only pray for missionaries. And you only pray for the pastor and the staff of the church. And you'll only... No. Jesus instructed us that that's an important facet of prayer, but also you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for your physical needs. Turn with me to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Look at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Now, can you imagine? Hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a sandwich? Sure, here's a rock. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, that is in comparison to God's grace and goodness, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Chapter 15. Verse 7. If you abide in me, abide meaning remain, maintain a constant, intimate communion and fellowship, being linked together closely. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that is, you are constantly maintaining close, intimate contact with the Word of God, you will ask what you desire. And it shall be done for you. You see, Jesus invites us to pray for us and to bring petition and requests that we have to him. In fact, what he says, ask, seek, knock. In Greek, it's in the intensive form. Jesus is saying, please ask. Please knock. Please seek. And it's not only in the intensive, it's in the continual. Please continue to ask. Please continue to knock. Please continue to seek. He invites us to bring our personal needs to him, to spread them out before the Lord. As it says in Philippians, in all things by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding would be yours. There is a prerequisite, however. The prerequisite is in verse 7 of chapter 15, abide. It's the same prerequisite as we read about already in the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, you must abide in the Lord. Abide means a relationship with him where you desire his will. You've denied yourself, pick up your cross, you're following him. You're maintaining a close relationship with him. The Word of God is in you constantly. You are seeking his will to spread his kingdom. You are seeking for his name to be glorified. Ask whatever you will, because you'll be asking for the desires that God desires. You know, I think a lot of times God waits until we ask him before he gives us those things, because he wants us to recognize the source. And I say that because a lot of times we're kind of tempted to think, well, what good does prayer do anyway? I mean, Jesus said a few verses before he taught the disciples how to pray that the Heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Well, if he knows what I need before I ask him, and if I seek the kingdom of God, he's going to provide these things, why do I even need to pray? Especially when I look at the heathen world and I see a lot of ungodly heathens running around who never pray at all, and they're provided for, it seems like, all the time. They're eating steak and ice cream. We're eating hamburger helper and jello. Yeah, God's providing for us, but how come it doesn't fit? Why bother to pray at all? That stumbled David, by the way. In Psalm 73, David said, I almost lost it. I stumbled when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I said, God, how come you're not doing those things for us? We pray to you. We trust in you. He said, my foot almost slipped. That is, I almost backslid. Why should we pray if our Heavenly Father knows? We're not informing God of anything. When you say, God, I have a need, God didn't say, oh? I'm sorry, I've been uninformed. Please, tell me about it. Why then does Jesus say, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread, so that you will recognize, first of all, the source. You recognize when you pray, you get an answer. How many times do I hear people say, you know, I prayed about this and God did it. It was a direct answer to prayer. Wow. See, they're recognizing their dependency upon God, that they're helpless without God, that God is the source. Give us this day, he said, our daily bread. Also, I think, if you'll be honest with yourself, you will recognize that if you neglect prayer, if you neglect thanksgiving for what God has given you, and you neglect prayer for your daily needs, and you neglect prayer and that communion with God, something begins to deteriorate in your life. You become not only unthankful, but a little prideful. When you neglect that close touch with God and the dependency upon God and you become more independent, you can begin to start thinking that it's your own wisdom, your own ability. Hey, I've done these things. I didn't pray about it. Look, I got it anyway. I did it. And you're driven more into independence of God. You lower your dependence upon God. That causes all sorts of restlessness and depression and pride. So prayer is for us. That's why Jesus said, ask, please ask. Seek, please continually seek and knock, and it will be done for you. In fact, in the Old Testament, God had to command Jeremiah to pray. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. He didn't say, you know, I have an encouragement for you, Jeremiah. Would you please pray to me? It was a commandment to Jeremiah. Call on me, Jeremiah, and I will answer you. Why does God need to command us to pray? Because that's our nature. If he didn't, we wouldn't do it. We're cocky enough and prideful enough to just sort of think we can do it on our own. And I wonder how many of us actually pray for daily provision. Lord, today provide I for my food, my clothing, my shelter. We think they're such stable factors that we don't really need to consider them and pray and thank God for. I'm not just talking about prayer before meals either, because sometimes those can become ritualistic as well. But a real dependency upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to drive that home just a little bit clearer. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses was giving a speech. God was speaking to his people. And look at verse 3 as Moses speaks to the children of Israel. So God humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Moses said, God had you out there so that on a daily basis you were looking for daily bread. Literally, manna, daily bread, bread that fell from heaven. He caused you to hunger so that you'd be daily looking to him. I hope God brings that manna down today, man. I mean, we've had it for 39 years now and we're sick of it, but we're also very hungry. And they were looking to the Lord. And then down in verse 9, God says, you're going to a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, judgments, statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, a thirsty land where there's no water, who brought water for you out of a rock of flint, who led you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. That tendency of losing the dependence upon God through trusting for daily provision. Pretty soon you think, well, I got a job. I work hard. I bring in the paychecks. I provide the bread. I make the bucks. God says that's being lifted up with pride. God gave you the power to go out and get a job and to work and to get wealth. In Romans chapter 1, concerning the unbelieving Gentiles, it says, neither were they thankful, and so their foolish hearts were darkened. They were not thankful. The provision that God was even giving to them. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need provision, and I'm dependent upon you, and I'm looking to you as my Heavenly Father to provide that. Now, in a country such as America, perhaps it may seem a little irrelevant that we would pray, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, when was the last time you really said, God, I plead with you, provide for me a meal? You know, most of us say, Lord, prevent me from eating that meal. I'm on a diet. Give me self-control. I don't need it. Right? That's usually our prayer. It's not the other way around. We have enough for us and for everybody else. But he's not just speaking here about food. For when it says daily bread, this is symbolic of sustenance in general. Food, clothes, shelter, all that you need to sustain life is what bread meant. Remember, when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke it to Jewish men. The disciples were Jewish. When they heard the word, give us this day our daily bread, they immediately keyed back to the wilderness where God provided manna, daily bread. And they thought of God provided in the wilderness. Manna was more than just food. There were vitamins. I mean, there were some, whatever was in there were some amazing things. And they made all sorts of funny dishes with it. And Moses said, though, as you've come through this wilderness for 40 years, you've eaten nothing but manna. But God provided for you. Your feet did not swell. You think, big deal. It is a big deal. Because food experts tell us that when a person eats the same diet, sameness of diet over a long period of time, that he gets a disease called beriberi, which causes, one of the symptoms is swollen ankles and feet. God not only fed them, but there was something in that manna, although it was the same thing every day, to keep them from disease, to keep them strong and healthy, all the necessary nutrients. I mean, we talk about Wonder Bread, builds bodies 12 different ways. This was Wonder Bread. For 40 years they could eat this stuff. And God kept them healthy. It was provision God was providing while they were in the desert. When the disciples heard, "Give us this day our daily bread," they knew that it was sustenance. That he was speaking that you can pray for all of the basic body necessities that you have. And it's not unspiritual to pray for them. God designed your body. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Psalms say. God designed your body incredibly. Not only did God design your body to be able to get food and live, but think of the variety. Have you ever thought about your taste buds? The fact that you have them? You know, God could have made you eat mud and given you the nutrition. Or he could have given you a certain kind of meal and a certain kind of tree that grew that made something, and that's all you ate. And it was the same thing. And he could have made the world just black and white and gray. But he gave us such variety, such an ability to enjoy. He gave us taste buds, and we can taste bitter and sweet and salty. We have olfactory nerves that work along with the taste buds so that when we eat and we smell, the taste is enhanced. The ability to appreciate the variety. So we can eat Mexican food one night, Indian food, Italian food, American food. We can enjoy variety. It's not only the function of just keeping our bodies alive. God created an enjoyment capability with all of our senses because he wants us to have fullness of joy. I am amazed that the God who created the universe, who holds all of the galaxies in his hands, all of the stars, all of the planets, the Enterprise, in his hands, the great and awesome God is concerned about my body. Is concerned about my daily needs. That amazes me. He holds all things, or in him all things consist or are held together. And yet he cares about the intimate details of my life. You know, I was freed up when I realized that God's concern did not stop when I left the church building. We have this idea that God is pleased with me because I am in church tonight. Or God is pleased with me and will listen to me because I'm having quiet time right now. And thus God is concerned and thus, you know, I'm going to have all the blessings. Do you realize God is concerned about all aspects of your life? And I remember when I'd go bicycling, I'd go surfing. And I said, you know, I'm just going to pray for a great fun day. Lord, give me the ability to enjoy myself and have a blast. Catch big waves, Lord. Bring them in. 4, 5, 6 foot. Thank you, Lord. I begin to include God in all sorts of activities. Because I realize that God has given me the capability to enjoy such variety in life. I took advantage of it. I love life. It's great to be alive. There's so much variety. There's so much pleasure. As God is number one, as you seek first the kingdom, he gives you an appreciation of just the simple things in life. And no less is give us this day our daily bread. Because when God provides for us, he also, because he has given us that ability to enjoy such variety. You know, just the listen next time when you go eat with your friend, if he's into different kinds of foods. Oh, yeah, well, that's good. Well, yeah. Well, why don't you try it? Yeah. You know, that whole noise of My wife laughs at me because I get into little things like that. I enjoy those little tiny tastes. That's so different. That's great. But when God provides, he does it with such enjoyment. And I'm amazed that God is not only all-powerful and willing to provide and be concerned about me, but allow me to enjoy it and take pleasure in it. Now, we are living in a day and age where this prayer will, as the time goes on, become more meaningful to many people. We live in America and there's great provision and we have refrigerators. But there's going to come a day, and it seems to be coming more rapidly, when saying, give us this day our daily bread is becoming more important. If you are keyed at all into what's going on economically, politically, in the world, the experts of the world are scared to death that our society will collapse momentarily. There are scientists who are scared that we have raped our natural resources to the extent that sustenance upon this planet is no longer possible. One of them, a professor from Harvard, I can't recall his name, he said, I am concerned about our generation, for our generation has never faced the perils. No generation has faced the perils that this generation faces. He says, I am one of those scientists, the Harvard scientists, who believe that man can no longer exist upon planet Earth past the year 2000. Unless, he said, we cope with three items. Number one, the runaway nuclear proliferation, storing up of arms. Number two, the pollution of the air and water supply of the planet. And number three, runaway population explosion. He says, unless we can cope with those three, there is no hope. And he ended that speech by saying, I see no way that we can cope with those three. Dr. Norman Gerlaug, who was in charge of the Green Revolution years ago, making synthetic foods to establish in third world countries people to live and farming techniques. He's an expert in food production. He said, look, the world, although we are scientists, cannot expect for us to pull a rabbit out of the hat in now the 11th hour of our world. It's too late. Because of the warnings from the experts, because of the pollution problems. Now, there's not really a whole lot of pollution here. God has blessed this area just naturally the way it's situated so that it just doesn't, you know, it's small enough and it can disseminate enough crud over a period of time that it doesn't stay polluted long. But people are now being scared just by the fact of, look at Chernobyl, look at what happened in Russia. The nuclear pollution that extended all the way over into Eastern and even parts of Western Europe that has destroyed crops. Look what's happening with the farmers in our country. There's going to come a time when give us this day our daily bread will be in a very important prayer. Worldwide. Now this is a series of events that we are watching today that is going to have a climax. It's going to have a crescendo, an end. In the Great Tribulation period, I don't plan to hang out there, but during the Great Tribulation period, it'll get so bad that the seas will turn to blood, the devastation will be worldwide, and Revelation chapter 6 says, a loaf of bread will sell for a day's wages. You have to work all day long to provide for your own self. It's amazing. That's where it's coming. That's why this prayer is important. Now, as a Christian, I do not plan on going through the tribulation period. However, I do see the economy failing constantly, constantly. And it could be that God is even waking us up. As many more of you are losing jobs, as many more of you see that the inflation gets higher every year, the gas and the electric, and you're just barely cutting it, you're also now having to pray much more than 10 and 20 years ago. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, back to Matthew. I lost my place. In this area of requests, Jesus says that we should pray, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Still praying for ourselves. Now, we have to close up tonight. We don't have enough time to get into that part of the petition of asking God for forgiveness. I want to say that if you are a Christian tonight, God will provide for you. You should still pray this prayer. He told you to pray, but God will provide for your needs. He won't provide for your greeds, but He'll provide for your needs. David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread? I have never seen God's seed begging bread or forsaken. God will provide for you. Right now, the world, worldwide, can sustain the people on this planet. You know, there is a fallacy, I think, we're being fed that, you know, we've got all of the food here and the rest of the world doesn't. That's a bunch of baloney. I've been to India, and Indira Gandhi herself said that India has enough food not only to feed its entire population, but to export 2/3 of its food products to the rest of the world. Only 15% of harvestable land is being farmed, and only half of that on a yearly basis. That's worldwide. Why then are countries like the United States more prosperous than countries like India and countries we call third world countries? I'll tell you why. This is one of the reasons. This is not a Christian nation, but it was based on Christian principles and it has a Christian influence. And when a country comes under a Christian influence, changes happen. I've been to India where there's been villages full of Hindus and I see poverty, I see people starving to death. I've been to villages close by who were at one time all Hindu. They converted to Christianity. Most of the village has become Christian. I see people in nicer clothes. I see people eating better. I see people giving of each other's sustenance, sharing in brotherly love, working hard to provide. The ethics of the kingdom of God come into play and human life is once again valued. Whereas under pagan religions, human life is devaluated. So a Christian influence, a strong Christian influence, and the nations that have come under a strong Christian influence, you will see the prosperity level, the living conditions much, much higher. Simply because it's a religious problem. You will see the conditions heighten. And in America, there still is a concern for life. I mean, people are still concerned about minimum wage. Countries like India, people could care less. Human life is cheap. Animals are much better and more worshipped than even human beings. Now, the secular humanists didn't bring us to this place. The secular humanists want to kill all the people that are not needed. All the old people and the deformed babies. The abortionists never brought us that value of life. They're trying to kill all the unborn babies. But a nation brought under the Christian influence, because of that Christian influence, the standard of living has been raised. Now we better watch it because this nation is vastly deteriorating and human life is becoming cheaper because relationship with God is becoming cheaper. But you know, you think about a country like India, for example, 350 million gods. The greatest thing you could ever reincarnate into would be a cow. And cows are worshipped. In fact, there's old cows' homes. I kid you not. Like old folks' homes, there's retirement homes for cows. But none for humans. Everything about a cow is sacred, including excretions. In fact, in India, there are people who drink urine out of cows because it's holy. And then they die, but it's a sacrifice to them. The cows in India eat 20% of the food supply. The rats that they worship eat another 15%. So between cows and rats alone, 25% of the food surplus is being eaten while people starve to death. I spoke to a bus driver who had to make a decision. He was driving down the street, and there's no traffic rules. There's not a country like India when it comes to driving. I've been to a lot of them. He's driving down the street and he had to make a split decision as he was going a significant speed to either hit a cow or a human being. Which did he choose? He killed a human being because the cow was sacred. Now life has become cheap and it's a spiritual reason. It's not a food problem. It's a spiritual reason. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging bread. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, as Christians, we also have a responsibility. As a nation that has come under the influence of Christianity, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we realize that there's other Christians sitting next to us tonight that are praying the same thing, who might not have as much as we do. And we have a responsibility to give to them. We have a responsibility with the storehouse ministry that we have here to supply it with food, with cans, with clothes to give out to the body of Christ. But we have a responsibility to become personally involved because there's other people that are praying that, and we need to be aware of those needs. Give us this day our daily bread means that I'm going to take the initiative because other Christians are praying that as well as I am. Ooh, there's more to share, but we're out of time. But let's close with that first word. Notice it. Give us this day our daily bread. What right do we have to come before God and say, give, God? Because God said to pray that. And one thing you must realize of utmost importance is that it is God's nature to give. True love is never passive. It's active. For someone to say, honey, I love you, but never demonstrate it, is a lie. True love always seeks some way to demonstrate love. For God so loved the world, what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. Love gives. This is God's nature to give. God invites you to pray for any request you have. Any need that you have for your body, God is concerned. He says, ask, knock, seek. Give us this day our daily sustenance. Jesus said, it'll be done to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the greatest thing about this prayer, I still think, is that you're our Father, the God of this universe who controls the seasons, who holds things together, is our Dad. Who loves us, whose nature it is to give. Father, as we are seeking your kingdom and your will to be done, and your kingdom, the gospel to be spread throughout our work, our place of business, our family, our community, provide for us. Give us what we need. Give us our daily bread. And Father, use us as members of this body to give to one another. That because we have the proper view of God, we would have the proper view of human life and its importance. Lord, make us a sharing people because of this truth. And we ask in Jesus' name that. Amen.